And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and now I have the privilege of speaking with Lizzie Horvitz. Now, Lizzie founded Finch. And Finch, Lizzie, if I am correct, is an umbrella to understanding how we work within the world in more sustainable ways. Now, I'm sure you're going to say that much more eloquently, but please tell me about Finch first, and then we'll backtrack a little and get into your background and how it all began.
Claire, thank you so much for having me. And you're exactly right. Finch is an online resource hub for everything sustainability to help individuals become more responsible consumers.
In today's world, there is so much to absorb out there, and it can feel heavy at times to try to take in what's happening around the globe, what's happening with our planet, what's happening here at home. But sometimes if you are offered these digestible pieces, it seems like we can put one foot in front of the other and as individuals become a more active part of moving the needle in a better direction sustainability-wise.
That's how Finch started, really, was to cut through that noise. You know, on the one hand, we've got these really deep academic studies that are tough for people to understand, but based in real data. And then on the other side, we have a lot of bloggers who are, frankly, just greenwashing quite a bit. And Finch was started in 2020 to really cut through that and be the middle of, okay, we're going to be based in real data and science, but digestible for the everyday person. And so if you're looking for small help or advice, small acts that you can do, you don't really have to scour the internet for 5 hours or for, you know, days at a time. You can just look and find the answer, and we'll be that resource for you.
Going back to how this all began for you, how you launched this, tell me your backstory and what influenced you or encouraged you to move forward in this direction.
I really fell in love with climate change back in 2004. And so if you remember back then, obviously climate change was understood, but people were not talking about it to the extent that they were today. And I just thought, how beautiful could we make this planet if we lived on solar and wind and our, you know, energy came from biodiesel, et cetera. And so that started in 2004. And then I really dedicated my college and grad school to focusing on climate mitigation in the private sector. What can companies do to reduce their carbon footprint? And after a couple of years in both the corporate world, the nonprofit world, and the startup space, I was getting a lot of questions from family and friends around, what do I do? You know, I just had a baby. What type of diaper should I use? Or is being a vegan really going to make that much of a difference? And I didn't know all the answers, and I had no resource to direct my friends towards. And so this really started as a personal interest of, if I can't even answer these questions for my friends, where are they supposed to go? And that's how Finch started.
So when you're putting this together, and again, there's such a vast amount of topics and information to get through, how do you kind of comb through everything and distill it down so we can go on there and have it be understandable for everybody?
It's a great question. There is so much to go through. I think given my background in environmental science, I understand the language that a lot of other people don't. And so where I can read studies on the impacts of a phthalate or a potentially harmful chemical, I can just boil that down and make it translatable. You know, one of our first product guides was talking about detergent and what the different parts of detergent do. And we compared that to cleaning an arena, right? Instead of cleaning, you know, clothes in a washing machine, you're talking about the janitors who are coming through and cleaning the building. You're talking about the chemicals that are used, et cetera. And so making those real life comparisons, I've found has been really helpful and resonates with our audience.
We have been talking in this show about sustainable holidays, and we move through the holidays, and it's almost like this fast and furious consumerism. And there is a lot of waste associated with holidays. And you had even talked about ways in which you can dispose of turkey grease. I mean, coming all the way down to something like that. So share with me some of the tips or tricks that you have that people might not even think about, but say, oh, I didn't realize that was like a step that I can actually take to help the planet. And, you know, sometimes you don't even think about those things.
I think there are so many things that individuals can do on a daily basis, but especially around the holidays, to your point, everything's so heightened. There's so much waste. There's so much cooking. So with Turkey Grace specifically, I think the biggest impact that you can have is just not putting turkey grease down the drain. Even though it looks like liquid, grease cools quickly and solidifies into a waxy plug. And these fat deposits merge to form fatbergs, which are essentially fat, oil, and grease buildups. If the pipe is clogged, nothing can go through it. And it's not just difficult for your pipes at home, but it goes into the city's public sewer lines, and it can be such a pain for the municipality and for your wallet. And so the best thing to do is actually to compost up to about 1 cup if you have at-home composting. And if that's not an option, then you let the grease cool in a pan, and then you pour that into something that you're already going to throw away. So soiled aluminum foil or a non-recyclable jar or container. And then you throw it away where it's completely contained in that aluminum foil or container.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So again, I think these are steps that feel so doable and actionable for all of us across the board. And that's what I love about these digestible pieces. And in looking through the website at choosefinch.com, you have different categories, you have different ways in which people can navigate it. You even have a glossary, which I thought was really great, because I think sometimes when we speak, or I'm speaking with a scientist or an environmental scientist, there are a lot of terms that come out and not all of us know exactly what that means. So why did you think it was important to put that glossary on there?
The reason I thought it was important to put the glossary on was because of so much greenwashing. There are so many terms that don't mean anything. And so in a funny counterintuitive way, we actually did this for all the words that have no meaning. So a couple of examples of that would be non-toxic, right? What does that mean? That's not regulated. That doesn't have any type of actual standard to it. Chemical free, that's not real. Lemons are chemicals and those are okay, right? Everything we touch is a chemical. It's just a matter of what are more harmful chemicals than not. Green and eco-friendly, you know, any package can put green or eco-friendly on their product. That doesn't mean anything. That's also not regulated. And so the glossary was really started because we want to be really careful about how we're speaking this language and what actually does mean something. And then it actually became really helpful when words do have meaning to differentiate. But for example, PFAS is something that gets spread around, or, you know, specific chemicals that might be damaging to our environment or to our endocrine system. It's really important that people understand those words.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about PFAS here, especially in a ski town where ski wax is getting disposed of. And we try to really be cognizant about how that ski wax is getting disposed of and how those forever chemicals are being treated here, especially in our mountain town. I so much appreciate the glossary. I really do. I also love a good guide. You do have on your site a more sustainable gift guide. And as we're moving into the holidays, can you share with me some tips and tricks that you put into this gift guide and why they made it on the list?
Absolutely. I think the first thing to note is that there are so many ways to show your love this holiday season while not contributing to a burning planet. I think too many times we think about what physical gift can I buy? Can I have it shipped, etc.? We love experiences. So just off the bat, I think not overlooking buying a gift card for a spa day or a dinner can be so meaningful to many people that I know. And then for physical gifts, we have a bit of a sniff test on what tips and tricks we're looking for when buying a physical present. We love B Corp certified companies or other credible third-party certifications, and we have those third-party certifications on our website. We also look at anything that's upcycled or made out of recycled materials. I have Rothy's clogs on my wish list, which are, of course, made from plastic bottles, or something that comes in minimal recyclable packaging. You know, we even get into, not specifically in the gift guide, but what the best way to shop is, if it's buying something online, if it's going to the store, etc. We really do a rigorous test of what does the company do? Where are they made? where are they headquartered, a lot of company checkpoints. And then for the product itself, we just go through a list of, you know, what are the materials, how is it made, how is it manufactured, et cetera.
You know, we're so busy all the time, and a lot of people don't have time to sit down and really research some of these products and really scour the web to see what's out there. So I think that it is really clever and wonderful to have someone that already did this for you. It's such a time suck sometimes to try to understand who is doing it right. And so it's really important for all of us that are, you know, just trying to get through the holidays and do the right thing, but also
should not be an added stress.
Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the goals that you have moving forward for Finch? What are some of the things that you would like to see happen?
I think you elucidated it very well. Sustainability is really overwhelming. Climate change can be really scary and alarmist. We want to make this positive. We want to say, yeah, there are scary things happening, but there are things that you can take into your control and do something about. And it doesn't require a professional degree or days and days of research. We have done this work. We can distill it for you and make it simple. And so we want everybody to know about this resource as a place to go to if they have questions. We're also really We're really approachable as a team. You know, my email is pretty easy to find. We have an AI buddy called Dewey. It's actually called Atticus now, where you can ask any question you want. Within 3 to 5 days, our team will get back to you. So it's really this personal service of what questions do you have and how do we make it simple? I think the other thing that's really important to note is that we are not reaching consumers who have already made decisions to live off the grid, to make their own detergent in their bathtub. We love those people. They're not our audience because they have made this their life sort of goal and they've dedicated a massive amount of time. We know that people are busy with kids and families and work and they just need to buy new mascara sometimes, right? And so how do we get these normal everyday people to make small changes where they can?
Yeah, and small changes do add up. When you look into the future of our planet and having studied environmental science, how do you stay positive and keep a positive message moving forward? And how do you live in hope?
It's such a good question, how to stay positive. You know, the real answer is that there's no other choice, right? Why would we be doing this if we thought that the world was going to end? Mm-hmm. We know that we will be able to adapt to whatever happens to our sacred planet. But I do think that it's going to require all hands on deck. And so I don't think we're going to consume our way out of this. I don't think people switching their detergents is solely going to make these changes. But I'm loving the innovations in batteries, in carbon capture, in these huge innovations, these microgrid shifts from fossil fuels to renewables. So while that's all happening, these everyday people also have answers that they're able to work on, whether it's simply just voting every 4 years or every 2 years, or making changes in their purchasing. There's something that everybody can do, and that's really meaningful for me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on This Green Earth, and you can go to choosefinch.com, correct, to get all this information.
Yes, my name is Lizzie Horvitz, and it's choosefinch.com. I hope that everybody can find something good to move forward with this holiday season.
Well, happy holidays to you. Lizzie Horvitz, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Claire.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.